Welcome back to another episode of the Row Such a Clatter podcast. Today I have a guest that's pretty much begged me to be on many different podcasts that I've had for what I would say 3 years now. Just really begged me, wanted to be on, just as my biggest fan. You guys might know him from the Now Watch This podcast. It's Joe, and I'm going to put the Jerry accent on, Joe Martinez. How's it going, bud?
Good, bud. That's the first Canadian R road in history, so congratulations.
No, man, we got a lot of Mexicanos down here.
Oh, the way you said Mexicanos tells me that you don't have a lot of Mexicanos.
I got a lot of essays out here, carnal. You know what I just realized? The first three episodes of this podcast, I've had you, yes. Jerry, and Manny. I feel like an honorary Latino, man.
Oh, God.
Latino takeover.
Man. Oh, man. Weren't you you're a proponent of building that wall, so.
No.
It doesn't make sense, man. You're a coyote of sorts. You're bringing us over.
I think you should let in all the Mexicans, man. Then things would get done quicker. Hard workers, and I'm a big fan of Mexican boxers. I think they're the best fighters in the world, man.
Dude, I'm telling you, we might take some siestas, but we got a chin on us.
Oh, no. 100%.
Some of us got two.
Yeah. Two or three. I got two as well, man. Anyway, so you've been begging to be on pretty much, man, haven't you?
I was waiting for the accolades and you know, the friendship there. I mean, I thought we were friends. We talk on a pretty much a daily basis, but no, man, I it's in support of you that, yeah, I've been asking to come on. That's the thing, and the thing is, I talked with Jerry about is we've kind of made this little community of friends, and we all are very supportive of each other. That's what makes this thing so good, man. Makes this thing so fun. And that's what makes it super fun when we all get on one of Jerry's shows together, man. That's when it's a lot of fun. But no, man, it's in support of you. I'm a big fan, so yeah.
To be fair, you, man, most people are.
I've been begging.
Most people are, man.
It's hard. Can you imagine meeting you, CJ, and not being a fan? Good Lord.
I always say I'm more of an acquired taste, man. Either you hate me or you love me.
Well, everything, almost everything Canadian is, right?
Oh, my God, man. You know how many Canadians I have that listen to this? I had a total of, I think, like 12. It's mostly like people in Europe and the U.S. It's crazy. So once the people in Canada catch on, man, they're going to know that they have a Christmas lover. They'll listen more. But
yeah. So what's this all about?
That's not what we say. It's such a stereotype. You probably think we live in an igloo, you fucking.
Well, you told me you got to feed your dogs that drive you around every day.
No. I do. I do have three dogs, though, but they could never pull me on a sleigh. I don't even think a bear could, to be honest. But so let's get into it, man. So,
okay.
When I first started Christmas sessions, that's when we kind of first got in contact. You liked it because we kind of. We didn't go into all the happy stuff about Christmas. We go into some of the shitty stuff. And sometimes Christmas isn't always, you know, amazing. So, like, start us from your childhood. Did you always love Christmas, or was it something you grew into? Or, like, explain a Christmas in the Martinez household.
Well, like, childhood Christmas, like, and especially, you know, at some ages, you don't quite understand it altogether. It's, you know the basics of Christmas, right? You know, Santa and stuff like that. I grew up in a Catholic household, so I learned, you know, all the holy side of it, you know, the Jesus story and everything like that. But my mom had eight sisters, bro. So a big family. Yeah, it was a big get together when our family got together, and it was good for a while. I mean,
that's a lot of tias.
Bro, eight, yes, all the same attitude, you know, just different levels and different ages of it. So, yeah, So all the good and all the bad that comes with that comes at you eight times, man. I felt bad for my one uncle or the one brother in that.
So hold on. There was eight sisters and one brother.
One brother, bro.
Oh my God.
Bro, and the story, because you have a family of eight that lives anywhere, right? That's a group, that's a gang.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So the Martinez sister story, kind of goes back, but it all started, you know, with my grandma and grandpa, and they're the only ones I really knew, right? I didn't know my dad's side of the family too much. There's a history there, but I don't even go into it that much because he was gone when I was like eight. So, Christmas up until then, it was great. I got what I wanted. I didn't understand how bad we had it or how bad it was until I got older that, you know, I was like, man, there's some pretty rough ones in there. And, you know, I think like you, I think you've said it, you know, when I had kids that love for it. And I remembered how much I loved it. But the things I loved as a kid at Christmas was watching Christmas shows, you know, like especially Christmas sitcom episodes.
Yeah.
It at least painted some of the perfect Christmases that I wasn't having. So it was a way to kind of at least understand or enjoy them as they happened when I was a kid.
You could live vicariously through the certain episodes or movies, right?
Yes, I was looking for that damn word. Damn it.
I knew you were. I could see you struggling. You got a small brain, brother. Like, it's okay.
It's Canadian's the second language for me, man. Get it?
Oh, no. So you said, like, you didn't realize how bad you had it. What did you mean? Like, when you look back, you didn't get the stuff you wanted because you said you did. Or are you saying, like, your mom really had to struggle to get that stuff?
Well, there were times when it was pretty good, and then there was other times. But I talk about, like, Luck and I. Lucky, who's my partner, and now watch this. We do Elf Louise program. And what we do with that is we deliver Christmas presents right before the holidays to, you know, needs families that need that. And, dude, it's awesome, man. We get to go to these families and give away presents. Well, I remember that happening to me as a kid. I didn't understand that it was, you know, because we didn't have, you know, these families were donating for us to have. I didn't understand all that. All I knew is that I was getting something on Christmas. So back then as a kid, I didn't understand it. Now I understand it, you know, even more. And that's kind of been a little bit of my way of giving back. We've also done like a toy drive to raise presents for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's pretty awesome, man. Like it feels good to do it. I was able to take my family with me. Because for the most part, they've seen good Christmases.
Yeah.
You know, I was able to take my family with me this year. And, you know, they were able to see, you know, some of these families that, you know, we're giving back to. And, you know, not everyone has it so great, man. But the smile and the happiness on some of these kids' faces when we pull up. And the family, not just the kids. It's awesome, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, and that's the one of the greatest things about Christmas, you know, because I get involved in some of that stuff. I don't really talk about it too much just because I find Christmas itself, Christmas, the actual day, amazing. But I find the lead up when you can help other people that normally wouldn't get that kind of Christmas, the gratitude they have. I always found that giving was always better than receiving. And when you give to these people, like you're saying, there's just such a different feeling about it. And it's kind of hard to equate into words, but without sounding self-serving, because, you know, you're talking about charity, but it makes you feel good. Yeah. And like, I mean, that's not the reason you do it. You want to make them feel good, but it makes you feel good because you see the look on their faces. You see these children that normally don't have this. And I'm not gonna say I grew up with super poor Christmases. Somehow it worked out. They made it happen. But sometimes, yeah, it was a little. It wasn't as much stuff as you'd expect. But what does somebody expect? You know. So like,
yeah.
But I knew what it was like to, you know, have a mom go paycheck to paycheck when she was young, and to see these families and they get a Christmas that they weren't really expecting because of charity. And I don't know, I'm rambling now, but it's always nice. Like, it's always a great feeling. It's always good to give. And anybody who's ever never done charity or even done like a soup kitchen on Christmas or just before Christmas, it's always the best feeling. It's like, it's the biggest dopamine boost you could ever get, because you're giving to these people that normally don't get these things. And 99% of the times are very appreciative. You might run into the certain person that isn't, which is fine, but you know, like, and no, what's really cool is like, you brought your family into it too. And you're teaching your kids that, like, you know, some people don't have this, you know what I mean? Like, maybe you didn't have this, but these people don't have it. And you always give to the less fortunate, no matter what, you know what I mean? And that's good values to instill in your kids. And I know you're a good dad. I see you with your kids, man.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Thank you.
You're at like every baseball game in the world, I think.
Dude. Yeah. There's a lot of people. They're like, man, how do you do it? I was like, dude, I'm flying out to see my pants, you know, learning as I go. But it's one of the reasons why we even got into like the podcast that we do, is where we talk about movies and stuff like that, because I watched a lot of this stuff to learn a lot of this stuff. And I take different bits, man, different bits from the different TV dads out there, you know what I mean? And I've tried to mold that. And then, you know, with influences that I've known myself, and I try to mold that into what I think the perfect dad is. But I praise my oldest son a lot, because I tell him, it's like, dude, I apologize. I learn a lot of stuff with you. So we've gone through some growing pains together.
Yeah.
But he's a good dude to have by my side for that. But even my wife, you know, I tell my wife, one of the things I knew, like, you know, this is the one, is I met her and we together, we would go wrap presents around Christmas time.
Oh, yeah.
For these charities. And we did that together. And then we even did it when we got out of school, because, you know, it was good. It was the right thing to do. It was something that we could do to help out. You know, you remember people like that. And again, she becomes the fact that she was willing to do it and out of the goodness of her heart showed me how good a person she is. And boy, I put her through hell every Christmas Eve. But CJ, every Christmas Eve, this woman stays up to 1-2 in the morning, wrapping all our presents to get them under the Christmas tree.
Oh man,
we do it every Christmas Eve, and we normally do it
a few weeks before. Man, I don't know how you do it on Christmas Eve.
We do it every, and you've seen the pictures of my Christmas tree layouts.
It's a lot,
and it's a lot. Yeah. This woman does it. CJ, I am no help, bro. I can fill the stockings, but God bless this woman. And
are you like me? I just sit there with like tape and I'm like, here you go.
Yes. I do the labels.
Me too. Me too. Yeah.
And every once in a while I make the drinks for us. And this woman had breast cancer 2 years ago, had a double mastectomy.
How did that go, by the way? Is she cancer free now?
It's cancer free. She's still on meds and she'll be on basically for the rest of her life.
Oh, okay.
But that's kind of the basic thing.
Yeah.
You know, but she's doing great, man.
That's like, amazing, I'm glad to hear that.
Yes. Thank you. But yeah, dude, I put her through hell every Christmas Eve, CJ.
So I have a question. So you talked about when you met. Sounds like you guys met in high school.
Yeah, dude, we're high school lovebirds.
So how old were you guys?
I was 17. She was 16.
Oh, okay. So she was a year younger. That's not too bad.
Yeah. When it was my first kid. Oh, dude, we waited. We weren't like most Hispanic couples down here in high school that have Mijo in their graduation pics. We didn't have our first kids till I was 24. She was 23. We had our first son. Yeah. And so our friend circle that we run with, because, you know, when you have kids, you get friends the same age.
Yeah.
Our friend circle is about 3 years younger than us. Okay. So, you know, when we hang out with them, we're the old folks, but it's cool.
No, that's good then. So tell me about your first Christmas with your kid. Was it a tough Christmas, or were you guys established, or did you find that you got that magic back, or what?
Yeah. Yeah. I was gonna, you know, I was leading up to doing the show. I was talking to her about, you know, do you remember our son's first Christmas? And we're just talking about that because we had video and stuff of it and everything. And that camcorder and that computer that we had the video on got stolen.
Oh, no.
Stolen forever, dude. Yeah. But I do remember his first Christmas. It was awesome, man. Like, to be able to give him, and then 3 years later or two Christmases later, he has a little brother there with him that he's enjoying it with.
Yeah.
And just the, since we had our single one bedroom apartment, we've always decorated. So,
yeah.
It's everything that leads up to it, man. And then trying to show them what we grew up with, you know, it was a little bit tougher when they were younger, and this thing, not everything was streaming the way it is now.
Yeah.
But I remember trying to show them that, and dude, like, another reason, you know, my wife was the one is when I, you know, as a teenager, as a kid, I had the big Christmases. As a teenager, it was usually just us doing whatever we're doing, our little family. And my mom did her best, man. No shot to her at all. But, you know, there was a while there that my extended family, all those tías, like, we didn't get together the way we used to, you know?
Yeah.
And then when I met my wife, their family did the big Christmas, yeah, where they sing Christmas carols. One of the tíos dresses up like Santa Claus and comes. And so, dude, it was that first Christmas with her and her family was so awesome, man, because it was just like, oh, man, this is it again. You know, just that feeling. And, you know, thankfully, my kids have been able to enjoy that feeling as well, you know, all these Christmases later.
Yeah. So how many kids do you have total? I feel like you have like 10.
Bro, I only have 3. They're busy as hell, but I only have 3, bro.
I always see the pictures. So you got 2 boys and you got your little girl, right?
Yes. I got a 19, a 17, and a 10-year-old. And the 10-year-old pretty much kind of runs the house, but, you know, like my boys,
yeah,
they were the, you know, they athletes, they played sports. It was around the clock we were doing shit.
Yeah.
She doesn't like to sweat, run, be yelled at, be told things, you know.
Yeah.
The typical woman.
Oh, Jesus. You're going to catch bullets for that. No, your older son, he plays baseball and football, was it? Or is that the one son?
No, well, yeah. My older son, he did play baseball and football. After he graduated high school, he decided to play only baseball. He did have some looks at schools for football, but he was like, you know, Martinez in baseball. There's only one Martinez in football, so yeah. I'll go the baseball route. My younger son, he plays, he runs track and plays football as well. He don't play baseball.
Is he the one that plays safety, I think, or?
Yes.
Okay, because I saw some stuff that you posted. It looked like he was playing safety.
Yeah, basically, they're both safeties.
Yeah, okay.
So you can imagine the oldest one graduates, and He didn't get no love until his senior year, but his senior year, he had a pretty great year. And now the other one comes up, they move him to corner safety, and you know, he's just in the shadow of the oldest one. So
even
to this day, man, I was talking to the coach because I know these guys for 7 years now, and you know, we become pretty good friends. You know, they understand I have some hardworking boys that are gonna do the right thing, and they can count on them. I'm like, dude, he's trying to get out of his shadow, but every time he comes, y'all have a video tribute or something going, and he pops up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great, man. It's awesome to have.
No, that's really good, man. So, like, do you guys have any special traditions that you do Christmas Eve or Christmas Day to this day that you learned as a kid, or is it just kind of you do your own thing?
No, I'd like to say that, yeah, there's some stuff. I mean, the Christmas carols and stuff like that, we're big into them. The Christmas music goes on as soon as they start playing it on the radio. But even me, I have my Spotify list, and every once in a while you need that kick. No, dude, it's all stuff that we've started now with our little family. We try to keep some things going on, like with her family, we always sing the 12 Days of Christmas. And it's been important to us, like, you know, her mom passed a few years before, you know, her grandma and grandpa. But the remaining people, to try to keep those Christmas traditions going. And luckily we have been, man, we have been, and it's important to us that we keep them going for these younger ones.
Yeah, for sure. So I obviously, like, in Canada, there's not a lot of Mexican tradition here that I know about, but I know in Mexican tradition, it's very big to honor those that passed away. Right.
Yes,
at Christmas, do you do that a lot? Do you bring up, like, your grandmother, grandfather, like her parents, stuff like that?
Traditionally, some of the houses we'll go to will have, I forget what they call it. But have you ever seen Coco? They have like the tradition thing.
Isn't it like the Day of the Dead or something like that is called? Or
well, that is, but even now, as we go along, my wife, you can't see it, but if I were to turn the camera just a little bit, you would see that thing in the corner.
Yeah.
She has her, you know, a little bit of her mom in an urn.
Okay,
and gotcha, yeah. She decorates it every holiday.
I love that, man.
Yeah, man. So yeah, man, we try to, especially like her mom and her dad that passed, we do try to honor them and we remember them. Now her favorite holiday was Halloween, so really on Halloween we go all out in her name, because we used to always have Halloween parties for her.
Yeah, gotcha. No, that's really good then. So this is the bad part. I didn't write down any notes, because normally I would just wing it with you, because we always wing it. It's the best way to go. But you said something before that actually made me laugh. You talked about like the Christmas specials back in the day. I love streaming, man. Streaming's good, but do you remember when like Rudolph and Frosty, you had to tune in at a certain time and it felt like an event? It's not like that anymore. You could just turn it on whenever you want.
Yes. About that. And the thing was, you'd always, like, we remember it more now, but we'd always get the phone call from her mom or from my mom saying, hey, Rudolph is on, make sure the kids are watching, or Frosty's on, you bet the kids are watching. Did y'all see Charlie Brown? Yeah. So we remember that part more now.
Yeah, for sure. Do you guys
know, now that they're gone? Yeah.
Do you guys have any plans yet for Christmas, or is it too early for that?
I mean, it's always when are we gonna do this or that? So it's on what day it lands on and stuff like that. But
yeah, gotcha.
We go to her cousin's traditionally, and he does a Santa roundup. So he'll go away, and then Santa will come back. Dude, Santa comes in, and Santa gives all the kids candy. He gives all the adults a little setup. You know, you'll get a soda with a little bottle because our Santa thinks of us too. So it's awesome.
No, that's good. Normally, like when we reach near, sorry, I'm a little sick right now. I have to cough once in a while. When we near the end, I do a thing now where normally I'm asking the question. So I'll put you on the spot. You get to ask me one question. Yeah. It can be anything related, but hopefully Christmas related.
Oh, dude. do you remember, I guess the first big gift you got your kids that they really wanted and you came through?
Yeah, probably. That's a really good question, man. That's a really good. I always get emotional when I talk about my kids and Christmas. Geez, you know what? Yeah,
That's the point, CJ.
Yeah, let's go. I mean, there's obviously the they're big into the when they were like 3 and 4, because earlier than that they can't really, you know, they can't express what they want. They could be like, oh, I like this, I like that. But there was one year they really wanted this kitchen, this big kitchen set up from Costco that they had. It was massive. It was really cool. And they also wanted, they're spoiled. They also wanted a Barbie dream house, and they also wanted a Monster High School, high school house. So like, I played it off like, oh, maybe you can only get one. And then they got all three that Christmas. And I just remember their eyes lighting up and they're like, oh my God, they couldn't believe it. And, that was probably the first time. I remember their first Christmas. We didn't have a lot, but I remember getting them this easel for like art, and then they would just like put handprints on it. But the first time that they really expressed what they wanted, it was like a Barbie house, a Monster High High School, and a what was it? The other thing. Oh yeah, the Costco kitchen. I actually have them on video asking for it, so I might send that to you later. But that was a big thing that I remember. Their big thing that they really wanted, and they're now it's like phones and electronics and all that stuff, but like, which is so expensive because as the electronics get more expensive, it's less under the tree because each thing costs $600, you know what I mean?
I'm like, look outside, y'all see y'all's two Camrys y'all have out there. Your car payments got done this month. Good. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. We have bills to pay.
No, man. I still try. And, dude, I have a bad habit of picking up stuff, man, like picking up this or that to give to them. And sometimes it's the most random gift that kind of means the most to them, something that they were unexpected. But I think we always try for that Christmas story moment, you know? When he sees Ralphie opening up the BB gun, and he's just there, and he's like,
That's the thing that I'm learning as I get older, because I love Christmas so much. So I try to like overschedule it. And I'm always like, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. But if you think back, all the best Christmas memories are ones that just happened organically. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like
definitely.
Christmas can't be planned. It just needs to happen. And that's one thing I needed to work on as I got older. But yeah, so we're pretty, I told you we're only going to go 40 minutes. I felt like it was 5 minutes, but,
No, we're good.
Do you have a Christmas wish for this year or no? If you could have any Christmas wish, what would it be?
It's really just, you know, that everyone, I want to see everyone have a good one. Like everyone have a great Christmas. You know, we feel like as a family, I'm blessed to have my house and have my brother and my mom over and everything like that. Now my son's girlfriends are real involved, and we're thankful to have them as well. Yeah. I just want everyone to have everything that they want for
Christmas. You heard it here first from Joe. He wants everyone to get what they want for Christmas.
Yes.
Listen, I really appreciate you coming on, man. I we could probably talk for 2 hours if we really wanted to, but did you want to plug your podcast here for a second?
Yes, man. Well, thankfully we've been back and we've been hitting it up. We just recorded another movie episode and we covered Swingers.
Oh, nice.
Yes. You know, Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau classic. So we're back, man, and we're hitting it up. It's called Now Watch This. You could go to nowwatchthispod.com and it'll take you to the link, you know, wherever you can find podcasts. We also have a Facebook page. the Now Watch This Watchers that we're pretty active in. And we also go on the sites that you run on as well, the Friday Night Faithful or Tis the Podcast group.
Nice. Well, that's awesome. Good. Well, I want to thank you for coming on, man. Seriously. Even though I'm a little sick tonight. My kids got me sick. So.
Oh man. No. Yeah. It's always, are y'all back to school now?
No, you guys go back a little earlier than us. They're going to go first week of September.
Oh, well, you know, that first week of school, they get all those school germs and,
yeah, it wasn't even that we, crummy. they went to a bunch of concerts this week. So I'm sure they picked up COVID from somebody there. So,
oh, good Lord.
Yeah. But,
anyway. Well, I want to thank you, brother, man. Cause, I want to support the podcast, man, and anything you ever need from me. And I thank you for coming on and supporting me. And if always. You want to hear CJ Unplugged and Unleashed, you can go to nowwatchthispod.com.
Don't rat me out, man. Don't rat me out. But yeah, I love
being on your pod. It was a great time, man.
Yeah, I love being on your pod because I can unleash a bit. But yeah. I want to thank everybody for listening to this episode. And like always, seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. I'll catch you next time.